is yours, the world is yours.
It's mine, whose world is this?
It's yours, it's mine,
whose world is this?
The world is yours, the world
the
is
world
yours.
Is yours. The world is yours. But this, as you're listening, is Rex's World. Welcome to Rex's World. Please welcome my co-host, Brian Brooks.
Hello.
Please welcome our producer, the man that makes everything work for here at Rex's World, Jono.
Good evening, everybody.
We're here tonight, and guess what, guys? No guest.
No guest.
We're learning a lot about the Rex's World crew today because we're
so much.
We're going in solo.
I love it. This has been so much fun, and we were just talking about the NFL draft. I almost said NHL draft. We were talking about the NFL draft right before this. So obviously, as this airs, the draft has come and gone. But, oh my God, I watched Caleb have what I could only describe as a psychotic break from reality as his pick that he intended for the Giants went to his rivals, the Cowboys. And let me tell you something. If anybody has ever watched the draft in all seriousness, like I just watched this, and you've witnessed somebody crash out like this, just make sure that they're okay.
I'm just not like, okay. Just... That's the worst part. I'm still not okay. We're winging it here.
It was so insane to watch. I felt like I watched what I experienced as a Patriots fan for this previous Super Bowl. Like, it was like an out-of-body experience watching Caleb go through this as I went through the last Super Bowl. Which, listen, dude, I hear it every single week from numerous people at my work. Yes, the Patriots had an easy season. Yes, nobody thought they were going to beat the Seahawks. And I thought there was a glimmer of hope there. But about the fourth or fifth time that I watched May get just tossed around like an infant child, I was like, yo, it ain't looking good, brother. This ain't one that we're gonna run back. Oh dear God.
It's especially hard when a running back wins the MVP, which means they just like forced y'all into submission. They like running the ball enough to where the running back gets the MVP. That means they just brutalized you guys.
Yeah. It was really gnarly to watch. I'll give it to the Seahawks. Like, they just, it was one of those things where, like, I think that everybody agrees, like, they just wanted it more, and they just, like, they had the better strategy, they had, like, the better play. At the end of the day, the better team won. Was that brutal to watch. But football's over. It's now the Stanley Cup playoffs, and that's what's more important to me. Because I'm a hockey guy. Not everybody knows this. Some people know this. If you're listening to this,
he gets in a lot of hockey fights.
I get in a lot of hockey fights. I love hockey, and the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs is happening right now, and it's been so awesome. Not just for the Boston Bruins, which I'm a big fan of. I know Boston sports guy, not from there. I don't have time to get into it. It happened at an early age. It's fine. It is what it is.
New York's a better East Coast city.
But it's really cool to watch because the recently moved Arizona Coyotes, who are now the Utah Mammoth, they are in the playoffs for the first time in their franchise history, which is really cool. They won the other night, which gives them their first playoff, franchise victory. It's a lot of cool things that I think happen in this kind of like, in these like situations, because a lot of other playoffs are just like very cut and dry, and hockey has a really complicated one, which I think is just like a testament to the sport in general.
Absolutely. But, I agree. I could agree.
Yeah, it's super fun. If you don't like, even if you don't like hockey, you should watch some of the playoff games, because like every single minute is just like to the teeth, like fighting to the very end for that win. And I, you know, and not to say that other sports don't do that, but like hockey's just like, bitch, just built different, dude. It's just different, you know?
I grew up a hockey fan.
Yeah, okay.
I played football because you didn't have to wear skates.
Sure, that makes sense. What
I
mean? No,
I played offensive line and played defensive line. I just wanted to hit people and stuff.
Like, and it's so funny because like I played peewee hockey, and like I played like a little bit of hockey out like after that, like kind of like in between peewee and like junior. I never played junior hockey or anything like that. But after that, like I didn't play football. I didn't play baseball. Like I played soccer a little bit, and I like
we can tell.
I played soccer a little bit. Like I played, you know, I played like some basketball and stuff like that. But it's just so funny because like for being as like big as I am, and Caleb can attest to this as well, like I never played football, and every time I talk about that, people are just like, oh man, coaches everywhere are just like so disappointed. A guy like you never played
and
football.
Here's why. You've got this and this comes from training with you in wrestling, and also wrestling you.
Yeah.
You've got this ridiculous brute strength that you just don't realize until you're off your feet. And you're like, oh, this guy picked me up really easily. Well, this guy moved me. And playing offensive line and stuff like, and granted, I'm not as big as I was in college.
Sure.
I'm not used to getting moved around like that. I played center, so I was like dead ass in the middle of the offensive line.
Yeah.
I had to be the guy that didn't get moved.
Right.
And 100%. And the way you would move me around, I'm like, this guy probably should have played like guard or nose guard even. Like, I got a feeling you probably would have like been one of Portland, Oregon's like top recruits, even maybe. Like,
which,
you know,
is
you're quick and you got this brute strength, and then they put you on like a football program, like as a coach. Like, I see you is if we put you on the same stuff we're putting on these kids that don't work hard, and with how hard you work, you would have been great.
All right, well, the missed potential there.
Jono, were you ever? It feeds into pro wrestling.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
That's why you're
good. Jono, did you play sports growing up?
No. I was not a sports guy. I went out for the football team, went out for track, did some track.
I also ran track.
Track was my favorite sport.
I also did track, and that was a lot of fun.
Couldn't catch, couldn't throw.
Yeah.
I was that guy.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah. I cheered. I did.
That was my winter sport was I was a cheerleader. So I thought I was being I had a single mom. She was like required that you had to be involved in something, and my thing was sports. So I didn't like wrestling my freshman year. Just didn't like the coach, didn't like the way things worked out. I broke my foot. So I was like, I don't think I'm gonna do a winter sport, thinking I was gonna get a break or something. And my mom's like, no, that's not an option. You're in cheer now. And and some of the people that listened to the first episode, I talked about this, but I was a cheerleader in high school, and they were very serious. They like competed at state and stuff like that. Like the bring it on style cheerleading was what they did at Heritage. And we were state champions and we were national champions.
Whoa.
They took it super serious.
Yeah, sure.
But track was like my rest sport, because football was the sport I wanted to go to college in and stuff like that. But like track, I could legitimately just show up, throw, and then leave. I threw discus, I threw shot put, I threw javelin. Those were my three. I was really good at discus. And I would show up, I'd throw, and then I'd leave. And it was so great because it would add to my letterman's jacket. Yeah. I was a three-sport athlete, so they'd recognize me as that. And it was just chill as heck. Like, I just had so much fun.
Crazy. Like, I always think about those types of, like, specific, like, track and field, like, discus and, like, shot put. And, like,
javelin's a lot of fun. It's throwing a spear.
Yeah, like that. Yeah, that would be like if we had javelin. I probably would have spent all my time being like, "How can I be the best javelin player?" Like that's what all I think about. You know what I mean? Because like I ran track, and
Did you run track or were you in track?
I ran track.
Oh, wow.
And I remember trying hurdles one time and like not, I didn't think, thankfully I can say that I've never like fallen down and like been like totally like all like, you know, head over, like heels over head or whatever, but I have tried hurdles and like, I just remember like not getting it like quite right and just like cracking my shin the first couple times and being like, nope, I'm good. I'll just stick to the sprint and the relay, dude. I'm so cool off that. Cause like when you're like, you know, when you're in like elementary school, and I ran track in elementary school,
okay.
like out here in Portland. And yeah. So like, yeah, I just remember just like running and like doing that and just being like, oh, that sucks. I don't want to do that.
No.
Can I run and not do that? Yeah, you can literally do all the other runs. Okay, cool.
It's the only sport that punishes you as it goes.
Oh, yeah. 100%, yeah, you sign up, dude, for the wrong event. Yeah. Like, ah, you're stuck.
I mean, at a race, you don't get punished until the end, and you find out you didn't win. Yeah. But hurdles, no. Every single mistake.
Dude, oh, God. Yes. And, like, I mean, you know, more power to you, like, if you can do those kinds of things. Like the high jump, that is like, that's like messing with like physics and stuff. And like, that's crazy to me. I don't know, dude. I don't know.
I get it. The long jump, the high jump, the triple jump, watching the guys like do the three different steps and then launch themselves into the pit. That was crazy.
Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah. One of my favorite, though, and you're going to laugh at this, is in high school, they would save till the end. They would do a relay that was only throwers and call it the Fat Man Relay.
Oh, I like that.
Yes, yes. And you could only make the relay team of throwers. And so at the end of the meet,
it's like a bunch of big dudes our size, yes, running relays,
yes, oh, yes, racing each other as fast as they can.
Awesome!
Oh,
dude.
Yeah, it's so much fun. It's the main event.
Let me tell you something, dude. When you get a big dude like in motion, it's hard to stop.
And when they're racing each other, like, yeah, you get two of them neck and neck.
Oh, dude,
that's entertainment.
That's a lot. That's a lot of dude running around.
Yes. That is two razorbacks, two hogs,
yeah,
just running after a piece of food.
100%. Oh, that's so sick. I would pay to watch that now. Oh, yeah.
It's a team, you know, running, I mean, of the bulls.
Yeah, 100% it is. 100% it is.
Oh,
it's so crazy.
All it's missing is somebody far, far smaller just running away from them.
Yeah. we're like overweight greyhounds chasing the rabbit on the track, but like we're just chasing like a plate of like steak bites or something.
The fastest guy on the team, and we're mad at him. Yeah. Like, you're always winning these wards. We're gonna get you this time.
He's like, hey guys, I got a voucher over here for a steak dinner. Like, come here, nerd.
You owe me.
Yeah, nerds are always fast. I don't know why.
Yeah. Weird. But they also fit in the rockers perfectly. Oh, yeah. Like, it's not my fault that they fit.
Did you ever?
It was our destiny. But...
Oh, no.
Like, I'm sorry. And then shoved you in.
We knew where we belonged. It was like...
Oh, no. We're giving Jono flashbacks.
Oh, man.
Sorry, dude.
No, I'm having a crash out.
Luckily, there's no lockers in the studio.
Nerdism was my sport.
I gotta tell you, I don't think that I've ever actually, in reality, seen somebody get put into a locker in my life. And maybe I was at like too nice of like Portland public schools to like see that happen. But like,
I'm surprised you didn't.
Yeah. I honestly say that I've never seen somebody get like shoved like into a locker and like the door closed.
They only fit in the PE lockers. The PE lockers were big enough. The regular lockers in the halls, not quite big enough. You could probably fit some people in there. I don't know. I
they were like 3 feet tall in my school. So
okay, you know. Okay. They were big enough.
Oh, like big, like the full size lockers in the hallway.
Right. So if you were both a nerd and a little person.
Then you were stuck in the hallway locker.
The bullying unicorn at that point.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And then, yeah. But everybody else was.
You were hung like a prize,
like
an elk. Look at this buck.
I've gone to schools that have had both, like as like normal lockers in the hallway, mm-hmm. like full size lockers, and then like short lockers or whatever.
Yeah, we had the small ones. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember one time I was going to, I think it was like middle school, and we had full size lockers, and I was really good friends with the guy who like was my locker mate or whatever. And I just remember like halfway through the school year, like I got like a different locker mate and I was like, what happened? And then the teacher was like, well, you're always leaving your locker unlocked. And I was like, oh, whoops. And it didn't get stolen. And they were like, no, Jake's just like tired of dealing with that. And I was like, all right, cool. Way to narc on me, Jake.
Jake.
Yeah, dude.
Security problems.
I never actually bullied people, but I knew what would like bother them. So my junior and senior year, whenever the freshmen would come in, football players, and then even kind of in college even too, but like they weren't used to showering in front of people or like being in a locker room, because like the middle school locker rooms compared to the high school locker rooms far different. I would get done with my shower and there would be a huddle. There'd be like a crew of freshmen like off in a corner, and I'd come up to them and I'd start drying myself off and start asking them about practice and just make them uncomfortable. Like I'm just standing there, and there was one
that listening body was... to you describe that makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like there was one that would like, there was always one that would thought they were slick by just not looking back behind them. They'd keep their eyes towards their crew. But then I'd put my leg up on the bench they were sitting on, and my nuts would be hanging on their, like right by their shoulder. And I'm sitting there just drying myself off. Like, hey man, how was practice? I'm glad you guys are here on the team. This is cool, man. And like, that they would just have to sit there and witness that.
Caleb has just passed from microaggression to major aggression.
I was not worried about making them uncomfortable.
No, you weren't. Oh God.
Or us, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, see,
I was gonna say, dude, like.
And before we continue to get everybody uncomfortable, we've got to cut to a commercial break. This has been Rex's World on KXRW 99.9 Independent Radio, Vancouver.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of The Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated The Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's Columbian.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver 6 or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
KXRW Vancouver, The world is yours, but we're here in Rex's world, and I am Rex. Brian Brooks is here with us. Producer Jono.
Howdy.
Guys, this has been a lot of fun. You guys have heard us crash out.
Oh, my God.
I don't think we've had an episode where we've just been able to talk like this.
No, this has been great. And it's like we were talking about during the break. We were kind of filling Jono in on Rex and I's history in like wrestling and like our friendship together and stuff like that, where we just are able to just kind of like bounce these ideas off of each other and always just have like a really good time. So this radio show absolutely makes sense. Will you pay attention? Oh, of course.
I keep looking at
Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders were on the screens and
picking,
I lost them.
They're making a pick.
I lost his attention span.
Not even about the cheerleaders.
Like a prepubescent boy.
I'm sorry. I'm focused. Yeah, I'm focused. I'm just going to sit like this.
I mean, they're off the screen.
It's
now.
Not about the cheerleaders. It's just about the pick in general. I'm covering the side of my eyes.
If you're just tuning in right now, currently we have the NFL draft on in the background, and it seems to be taking a lot of attention away.
I told Jono that it would be okay that we had it on.
Yeah,
and
dude, your show, your rules. It's totally fine.
I'm never going to get to go home today.
No. God, we are so far behind on time. Like, Jono gets home, and it's like he's returned from war.
Yes. I missed you so much. I thought you'd never return.
That's my flashbacking. Caleb, no.
Yeah.
No,
oh,
it's
my
just
God.
The Cowboys.
It's like my idiot. It's like my idiot cat when I take the trash out and I come back in. He's just like, meow, meow. I'm like, I've been gone 3 seconds, dude. Like,
yes,
chill out.
You were
bro.
Just outside.
Oh my God, dude. Okay, so our cat Moose, he does really well on like a harness, and he likes to go outside. Which, if you've never seen a cat on a harness outside, it's the greatest thing in the entire world. Because they just like most cats who like. Kind of have that balance, don't like you, like they know how to behave outside, but cats who don't have that balance, it's like you are dropping them into like the like African jungle,
into a war zone.
Oh God, yeah, dude. I remember my cat that I had with my daughter's mom. He would stick his head out the door and just like look around, and he would just get like super low. Like he would like drop himself like all the way down to the ground and just like kind of like sulk. And I'm like, what are you looking for? There's nothing out here. Like, it's the middle of the day. And he would just like roll around on concrete. Apparently cats really like to roll around on concrete. Like it's really good for like scratching itches and stuff. And I'm just like, God, could you imagine if I went outside and just rolled around on like a pad of concrete just to scratch like a certain part of my back?
Yes, like you're digging in like it's like something comfortable.
Oh, dude, I do the bear thing where you like scratch your shoulder blades on like the door frame.
I do that all the time in
class.
Oh
my God.
I get all the looks. They look at me weird. I'm like, I gotta itch my back.
Dude. Olivia, of course, like after watching The Jungle Book always tells me, like, Dad, you're doing a Baloo. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I am. Because he was smart about it. He was
dancing.
He knew. He knew what was up.
He had moves, too. And he knew how to sing. Like,
yes.
Come on.
Dude. Come on. Okay, wait. We're going to go around the room real quick. This just came to my ADHD brain. This is how you know that this works. Favorite Disney movie ever, go.
Hercules.
Oh, God. Oh my God!
Love Hercules,
Jono.
Ooh, okay. Skip me. Go back to you. Give me the.
Oh God. I gotta say. Oh man, Aristocats.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a really good one. Okay,
that's
John.
That's a deep dive.
It's a deep cut.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a deep
it's
cut.
It's a really good one.
Best music. For sure.
Well,
great
best,
music.
Yes. Best music, I arguably best music of, I
oh,
think, any Disney
oh,
of any takey, Disney
takey.
Movie.
Takey.
Uh-huh.
Got to go with Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, that's
God.
A good
one, too. That's
a
newer
real,
one, too.
I would say,
great.
I would argue that that's Emily's favorite. And I think that if I would have to ask Olivia, Olivia's favorite would probably also be Emperor's New Groove.
It's got good music.
It's got good music. It's funny. Good
characters, good voices.
Good, great voices. There was a very long time where Olivia, during the summer break, we would just watch, she would watch it all. Like, she would watch, like, every iteration of, like, the Disney movies, like, all the time. So there was a 72-hour period where every version of The Lion King was constantly playing in my house, like, no breaks. Sun up to sundown. We'd watch number one. We'd watch number two. We'd watch, is there a third? No.
There's a sequel.
Okay, so there's one. There's
technically three cartoon ones. Because yes. There's a prequel.
There's the prequel. Well, the Lion King. It's not really a sequel. It's like a The Lion King 1.5.
Yes.
Okay. Because it's the Timon and Pumbaa story.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's like 1, 1.5, 2.
And then they give you the live action.
And then they give you the live action one.
And then there's the live action prequel about his dad.
Yes, the Mufasa story.
Yeah, oh my God, I completely forgot about that. Yeah, sure, I think at some point she watched that too. But like, it was just playing at our house 24/7 for like, oh God. And I was like, hey, can you just watch something else? Please, there's so many more movies. So then she would like watch Toy Story 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh. I'm like, oh God, stop!
That's not bad.
She's just making me cry.
I can't do it anymore.
You know what's funny about the Emperor's New Groove too is they kind of bit off more than they could chew with like the Disneyland part of it, because they couldn't find voices or people that could recreate the magic. Kronk,
yeah,
or the guy that John Goodman played. I can't remember the peasant guy.
It starts with a P.
Pacha. They couldn't recreate the magic, and then they also couldn't figure out
if
guests would rather meet the llama or meet the person.
Oh, sure.
That was another part of it. That's
super interesting.
So, like, the characters they meet and things like that are way different. Like, you meet Yzma or Kronk before you meet, like, any of the other characters.
Can I tell you guys something really funny that might surprise a lot of people? Mm. I've never been to Disneyland.
You've never been to Disneyland?
No.
Wow. Okay.
I know.
Wow.
We have talked about taking the big trip next year after the wedding and all of these things and after our honeymoon and stuff like that. Which Olivia's like the appropriate age now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've never been. Emily went once, I think, when she was like around Olivia's age, maybe a little bit older. But yeah, never been. You've been?
Three times.
Oh God.
I went
maybe a total of three times too.
I went in three different generations too. I went as a kid. I went as a high schooler. Like a
high school, yeah.
Yeah, and then even younger than that. And then I went, my last trip was as a high schooler.
Nice.
Because that's where Nationals for Cheer was. Which was dope.
That's crazy.
Like, there was nothing more validating than getting teased for, like, being
a male cheerleader.
Sure. And then spring break hitting. And like, we're in the middle of class, like on a Wednesday or Thursday, and they make an announcement over the, and like, all the cheerleaders, please come to here for your Nationals trip. And I'm like, peace guys, I'm going to Disneyland with thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of other cheerleaders I'm never, ever, 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 ever going to see again.
Goodbye, nerds.
And they love the fact that I'm a male cheerleader because none of their teams have boys on their team.
Oh,
yes, exactly. They're like, oh my God, you're a male cheerleader? Oh my God. And you're big and strong?
What do you think the number of phone numbers Caleb got on that trip was?
Oh, golly. I'm thinking target-rich environment.
Do you want to go on this ride with me? 100%. Yes, and I had.
He's not even pointing to a ride.
My boys are with me.
You want to go like you want to go like sloppy teenage makeout behind this ride instead.
Yes, okay.
Yes, exactly. Splash Mountain was not the ride.
Oh no. Oh. Uh-oh, dude. You for sure you have to beep that out.
Whoops. We're sorry. Oh
my God, dude.
It had to be said.
Well, that's our show, everybody. Thanks so much. We will probably never get granted to have this show ever again. Oh, dear God.
Aren't you glad you don't have to deal with me with promos anymore?
Oh, my God. Dude,
there's never a filter. There's never.
He cut a wrestling promo one time where he locked our trainer in, like, a bank vault. Mm-hmm.
It said, see you at our match.
Yeah, dude. I'm like, yo, what is going on here?
We did. There was a hallway at the place we were shooting that, and there was like multiple doorways. So we recreated one of those Scooby-Doo scenes where they're like running through the doors chasing each other.
I remember.
And we couldn't
this.
Find each other. And me and my tag team partner are chasing him around, and we run into each other. We point at each other, and then we like run to the opposite doors, and then run into each other.
Oh God, yes. I remember this so much. Oh yeah, that was a really good one. I love that so much.
And then we played these videos because I walked out to the ring during when it was match time, and I was like, hey, I don't know if he's gonna make it. And then we showed that clip of me locking him in, and then another clip shows up right after it of him like shooting this video inside the safe, and he unlocked the safe with like what was it? It was two Slim Jims. Because, like, you use a Slim Jim to unlock locks. He used, like, the meat stick Slim Jims and was, like, using that to unlock
the safe.
And he got out.
Pro wrestling is so stupid.
Yes.
Go ahead. Try to tell us pro wrestling's not real.
Yes, he used Slim Jims to get out. But, like, brilliant. The meat stick, not the... And he got out of a bank vault underneath the underground in Portland.
Oh my God,
and still
dude.
Made it to the match. And I think I won, but I had to cheat.
Yeah.
I gave him all of those extra things he had to do, and I still had to cheat to beat him.
Dude, the gas station by my house has one of those Macho Man Slim Jim holders.
Oh, wow.
Still?
That's like, classic.
And I'm like really good friends with them because it's directly behind our house. Like there's an alley behind our house, and like you walk out and it's right there. And every single time I go to that gas station, I'm like, hey, Cindy, how much can I pay you for this? She goes, oh, I can't. And I'm like, you can. You can. Nobody would know, dude.
Right.
Yeah, you can sell it to me. Nobody would know. Oh God, yeah. It's just
And yet there it sits.
And yet there it sits,
laughing at you in its own macho
God,
way,
dude. Have you guys ever heard Macho Man's rap album, "Be a Man"?
Yes.
Both of us were like, yes, yeah. We have. It's not a. It's not
I mean,
a
I'm not really proud of it, but
yeah. It's not
I don't know if he was either, but good Lord, that is. That's so just so funny. Okay,
you're an idiot, Hulk Hogan.
Yeah,
be a man.
Here we go on another. This is ADHD hour with Brian Brooks here. This is gonna be a good one, I think, because we're gonna talk wrestling later, but we're gonna talk wrestling again right now. I'm gonna start with Jono, because I have a feeling I know Caleb's answer, but I want to hear Jono's answer. Jono. Who's your favorite professional wrestler of all time?
Oh, I feel so judged, but it's easy.
It's easy.
It's always been Randy Savage.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's not a judgment. We're not judging you.
Can you give us a quick, like, just like a quick little, like, rundown of why?
Okay. So my first WWE experience where I was really paying attention was WrestleMania 3.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are both checking your calendars and realizing you were twinkles in your parents' eyes at that time.
That's correct.
But that true. WrestleMania 3, yes. Him, Steamboat.
Yeah. Oh God.
Probably you watch it now and you realize how choreographed it was. But it was a perfect match.
Poetry.
It was yes. Everything about it was spot on.
Yeah.
And for the first, I mean, that would make it what match number five, probably, you know, WWE that I was watching, WWF. Yeah.
Was that Andre Hogan?
That was Andre Hogan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Yeah. Gosh, that was a beautiful thing to start with.
I know that because I recently watched the Hogan doc.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yes, yes.
But he had the whole thing going, the Miss Elizabeth.
Yeah.
So, dude. And, but it was his voice. And it was the fact that he would do these interviews where he would just go randomly on these tangents. And I go, this guy is immortal. This guy is not on the same page as anybody else.
Closest thing they got to Hogan, for sure.
For sure.
For sure. Like immortality feeling.
Yeah, yeah. As far as charisma, I mean, he was there.
Yes. Closest thing they got to like the unbeatable
Hogan. Yeah. And after that, it was just, always him.
Especially like, I mean, obviously, like we just talked about, like, it, you know, the main event was Hogan Andre. Like, at that time, getting him that close.
Mm-hmm.
Was like no easy feat.
Nope.
That's so sick. I love the promos. Did it for you because like, dude, I've gone back and I've watched some promo clips and stuff like that where I'm just like, oh dear God, these guys are legitimately like, they're insane. They're insane people. And then you just think about like, well, they're probably, you know, like outside substances that we're attributing to the way that these guys were acting. Like one of my favorite promos of all time is the Hart Foundation. And I have no idea why, but Jim Neidhart is just walking around like just making like kind of like yelling noises while he's grabbing his goatee and just like pulling it straight. And it's already like cut and pointed like down to like the middle of his belly almost, but it's just pacing back and forth in front of the camera. They don't interview him at all. He's just pacing back and forth, yelling and like making noises. And I'm like, dude, this can get like over, quote unquote, like that's the coolest thing in the entire world.
This
like,
is the dynamic of Brooks and Rex. Because Brooks would be pacing back and forth just like that. And I'd be cutting a promo, but everybody would be focusing on how intense Brooks would be getting. Yeah. Because that's the dynamic. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that's so awesome. Now, we're just lucky Brooks's cable on his microphone is so short and that's he can't.
Right. Listen here, dude.
Keep moving around. Yeah. He doesn't have a chair. He's standing the whole time.
I will rip this microphone off of the arm and do it right now.
Oh, my God. So, hey, before we rip the mics off the arms, before we do anything drastic, we've got to cut to commercial break. We are down to our last segment, so please do not miss it. Please tune in. KXRW Independent Radio 99.9 Vancouver. This is Rex's World. We will be right back.
Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie.
KXRW programming is made possible by partners like Buckley & Associates, attorneys at law, helping injured victims seek the justice they deserve for over 40 years. Licensed in Washington State, our diverse team speaks over 7 languages, making your rights more accessible and easier to understand. Learn more at buckleylaw.net. Buckley & Associates, we speak your language.
우리는 여러분의 언어를 구사합니다.
我们说你的语言.
Nosotros hablamos tu idioma.
중도의 nói ngôn ngữ của bạn.
Support for KXRW comes from Kindred Vancouver in downtown Vancouver, Washington. Kindred is a community-focused general store offering bulk refillery options and supplies for sustainable, do-it-yourself living. With a focus on reducing waste and supporting clean, mindful lifestyles, Kindred helps individuals incorporate low-impact choices into daily life. More information is at kindredvancouver.com.
KXRW programming like this is made possible with the support of the Columbian. I'm Will Campbell, and since 1920, my family has owned and operated the Columbian and ensured its award-winning news coverage. For the most thorough daily coverage of local news, national news, and local sports, both in print and online, and for subscription information, visit Columbian.com. That's C-O-L-U-M-B-I-A-N.com.
If you're looking for pizza in East Vancouver, consider visiting Giuliano's Pizzeria in the Cascade Park Fisher's Landing neighborhood. For 37 years, Giuliano's has been a choice for Clark County residents. Giuliano's has a casual classic rock atmosphere, open 7 days a week, and they provide table service allowing you to relax and enjoy your meal with family and friends. If you have a large crowd to feed, Giuliano's can deliver six or more extra large pizzas to your office or event. More information can be found at giulianospizza.com.
I got all the answers to your questions. I'll be the teacher, you could be the lesson. I'll be the preacher, you be the confession. I'll be the quick relief to all your stressing.
Welcome back to Rex's World. This is my world, but the world is yours as well. We're here with Brian Brooks.
Heyo.
And producer Jono.
Hi there.
This has been a legendary episode because this has been the first time you guys have gotten to see us as people, us as a crew.
That's right.
And me and Brian have such an extensive history in pro wrestling specifically. Yes. I would not have met Brian unless I decided to try out and try to become a wrestler at Blue Collar Wrestling. And I owe a lot to Blue Collar Wrestling because of that, because I got to meet one of my closest friends.
100%. And I also owe that company a lot because it helped me fulfill like a dream that I didn't think that I was ever gonna make into a reality, which is kind of cool. And like Rex said, I would have never met Rex, who, you know, ended up becoming one of my best friends and a training partner, a tag team partner, a heated rival.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, so many things. And it's just like, it's so funny because pro wrestling can be just like such like a beautiful like gateway to like opening up yourself to be like a really kind of like interesting version of yourself and like very raw and like very vulnerable. And in terms, I think, of like, you can't be afraid to fail. You can't be afraid of like putting in like excruciatingly hard work. And you can't be afraid to like have fun and like laugh at yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Not afraid to look stupid.
No. Oh my God.
Not afraid to have no, like you have to do something with the knowing in the back of your head that like there's an outside chance that absolutely nobody reacts to this.
I went to training class last week and we were just going over a spot and I was supposed to go just like over the top rope and I went over the top rope and my body went first and my lead leg I thought went over, but it ended up going through the middle and the top rope and getting like pretzel twisted. And I was just like, I was super bummed out and I was really embarrassed because it was my first night at the like advanced class with like, you know, all of these people who are on shows like around the area constantly. And we just, you know, like after it was kind of all said and done, like we had a good laugh about it, but I was like, that's just what it was. Like you just had to, you know, like get up, shake the dust off and keep on keeping on, man. And it just was really funny.
That's an emotional moment. Like it made me feel, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't know the people we knew without going through some of the hardest moments in our life.
Yes.
Showing up to training, and shout out Ernie. But before Ernie started training, before Lydia started training and stuff like that, it would just be you and I, and we would build the ring.
Yep.
And then get our asses kicked.
Yep.
And then get our asses chewed.
Yep.
And then have to tear down the ring.
Yep. Let me tell you something. If you ever think, oh, pro wrestling, like a wrestling ring, it's just like a giant, it's like a giant bed and this and that. It's not.
No.
It's not. Not at all.
Not even close.
Not even close. And it really, like, it, you know, the ring doesn't give you anything. It doesn't. No. It doesn't give you a single thing.
No,
especially, you have to take. You have to just take everything that that ring is, you know, gives you, and you just have to keep going. Yeah. And you have to take everything that your trainers give you and your coaches, and like, you know, it's again, it's just it's hard work. It's not being afraid, like, to try and fail and try and fail. And like, you know, like Rex was saying, like, the hardest times of your life can happen, but as soon as you like lock in and step into like a wrestling ring, like, all that stuff goes away.
And there's a lot of drama that goes to it too, because you could be invested in the story you're telling, mm-hmm. or invested in the way things are going, and then the person in charge can just be like, this is how we're doing things.
Yep.
And it could be a day and night difference, yep. to what you intended to. And a lot of the times you just have to show up and roll with it.
A million percent. I mean, you said it best. It's just like, you have to roll with the punches.
Yes.
And it's a tough pill for some people to swallow.
It is.
You know?
It is.
You know, from the other side of the guardrail.
Yeah.
Good, since we're in this sentimental third act,
yeah.
You know, you're got a crowd who are going through divorces, can't get work, worrying about providing, and they need an hour,
relationship
hour and a half.
Troubles, whatever it is.
But they paid a ticket to go into a room where reality bends.
Yes.
And they want to watch
a good description.
Yeah, they want to watch two guys kicking ass.
Yeah, dude. I want to watch Rex and I just slap the absolute piss out of each other.
Yes.
I mean, here in the studio, it happens all the time. But, but to see it in an actual ring would be interesting, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the real thing you guys do, is you're taking that emotion, you're turning it into something that is then being paid as a dividend to the crowd.
Yeah.
Who's able to let go of their stuff for a little while. And it brings a real value to what you're doing.
Yes, and you have to be invested in it. I think there's even a feeling in the locker room where like there's like almost a stigma for being too invested. But the reality is I don't think you can ever be too invested. You have to be that
way. No, you can't.
To get it to work.
Yeah.
You have to live that story. You have to live me and Brian hating each other to get that stuff to work. And it may,
and we have to, you know, like in a certain degree, like we have to live that.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Like, you know, whether it be like me coming out and distracting Caleb when he's like all fired up in the middle of a match.
About to win a match.
About to win a match. It has to be like we absolutely hate each other.
He can tell I'm talking about him. It may not. It could be good or bad. He can tell.
He could.
That
he
I'm
could not
sitting
even be,
there at commentary talking about him.
He could not even be talking about me at all. But he is living rent free in my head just by being, just by being in eyesight at any time.
Yes, or he could be in the middle of a cowardly heel act, something that's going to get him over. Like put him ahead of the guy he's about to wrestle, and I step in and stop him and keep him from doing it.
Yeah.
That made him so angry. You know what I mean?
To those who lack a visual representation, these two are glaring at each other across the table right now.
Brian is gripping the mic.
Brian's microphone is melting as we speak.
Yes, yes. Brian has, so I don't know if you, like from listening to this show in general, Brian has the unmatched power and force, and I've got the charisma and the athleticism and stuff, but I cannot match Brian's power. So like he's breaking the mic while I'm talking smack to him.
You guys can't see it, but I have just been ripping chunks of like blood off of this table with my bare
hands.
Yes. That's how this dynamic
Sorry,
works.
Sorry, dude. We'll pay for it.
This
eventually.
Is a nonprofit radio station.
Oh, man. We're going to have to do a benefit just to get a new table.
Yeah, dude.
Just to get a new table.
Caleb and Brian will be washing cars in the parking lot this weekend.
But don't announce that, because then he'll put me through the table thinking it's expendable.
That's right.
And he won't have to worry about it. And he's very
capable
of
that. Coming to a parking lot near you soon. Rex's World Bikini Car Wash.
/ parking lot brawl.
/ parking lot brawl. Just Caleb and I just standing there with like a hose, just spraying each other.
Like,
we're just standing 5 feet from each other. We just got the hose on the whole time. People are like, hey, I paid you $20 to wash my car. I'm like, I'll get to it.
We're solving something.
I'm working something out here. We're clearly working issues out.
It's for the sake of Rex's world. You have no idea what this means.
This needs to be done.
Yes. Yeah.
This has to happen for us to heal.
This is our end game.
Yes. And they're like, this is the worst car wash ever, dude.
This is our Thanos. We have to fight him.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's so good. Oh, my God. Okay, well, speaking of professional wrestling, two parts here. One, we heard Jono's favorite professional wrestler of all time before the break, which was the Macho Man Randy Savage. Mr. Rex, who is your favorite professional wrestler of all time?
Ooh, okay. Bret Hart.
Oh, okay.
Bret Hart's my favorite all time, but like a very, very close second that's more of the, in the generation that I grew up in, was Chris Jericho.
Oh,
Chris Jericho, Kurt Angle, those are my
you
guys.
Secretly Canadian? What's happening here?
No, I'm not. And that's the thing, too, is like I just like that style of wrestling.
Yeah.
I loved Kurt Angle. I loved Brock Lesnar. But I think that was because of the athlete side of me. Of like that was my way in. It's like, oh, man, if I go to college and play sports, I can become a pro wrestler.
Oh, okay.
That was Kurt Angle and that was Brock Lesnar. But the pro wrestling side of it was absolutely Bret Hart. And like, screw Hulk Hogan. I'm a better wrestler than Hulk Hogan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Type of thing. And then Chris Jericho just being the highlight reel.
Yeah.
The highlight reel.
Yeah,
you know what
100%.
I mean? The
100%.
I distinctly remember watching the episode of, what was it, SmackDown or Raw, that the countdown went down and he showed up in.
Oh, yeah.
I watched him debut.
Baby. Raw is Jericho.
Yes. So like that was absolutely
God,
what a good
episode of Raw.
Right? That was
what
good
a
TV.
Great episode of Raw. I will say that my favorite professional wrestler of all time is probably The Undertaker.
Undertaker.
Yeah. And a hard second is Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay.
For sure. 100%.
You guys got semi the same, like your gimmick is semi a mix of that, because like, you're brash like Stone Cold, but you're also got like that metal dark side of Undertaker.
Yeah. And it's very much seen in like my entrance and my gear and all of that kind of stuff.
I see you walking on the ropes.
Yeah. No.
Well, that was so I'm glad you brought that up, because the only reason he got a bigger spot on the promo on the poster, and you guys will see it, we're side by side, we're the same size, and it's because he is now Big Spot Brian. He doesn't get big spots on the poster unless he does big spots in his match. So
that's
he
right.
owes us a top rope elbow. That's the start. That's the start. He's,
dude,
that,
we had
top
to
rope
do,
elbow.
God, we had to do top rope like we had to do top rope like front flips a couple weeks ago, and like top rope cross bodies. And I just, dude, I got up there, and I'd never been on the top turnbuckle on like a high up ring before. But I was up there, and I was like, holy shit, dude, there's no way I'm doing a front flip off this thing. You guys are out of your mind.
I had to go to when we ended our match on that splash, I had to go to the second rope because I couldn't balance on the top rope.
Dude.
And then somebody noticed that. They're like, why didn't you go to the top rope?
Yeah.
I was like, dude, you don't even know.
I mean, I sympathize, Brian, but what about the guy at the bottom?
Dude, I would have murdered that kid. I would have murdered that poor 19-year-old kid in training.
Avalanche, yeah.
100%. Because it's so funny because every time I'm in training and we go to do some like spot drill and I get in the ring, people just go, oh no.
Are they
I'm
always like, smaller? They're always smaller than you,
they're
huh?
They're all, dude, like everybody. All of them. I've seen almost yeah. everybody. Yeah, there's a couple guys that are my size, but like almost everybody is like a lot smaller and like younger than me by at least like 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dude, I'm going to murder this
kid.
That's
how
bro.
I felt playing football. That's when I had to step away, was when like I was still playing pretty well and I was still like a starter and stuff, but like there were guys 5 to 6 years younger than me just as good, and I'm like,
yeah,
where's the ceiling? I've hit my max because like these young guys can just show up and be just as good.
Yeah.
That was hard.
It's crazy. It's so crazy to me, and people ask me all the time, like when I talk about wrestling at like my day job and stuff, and they're like, oh, well, do you want to go to WWE or do you want to go to AEW? And I'm like, no, I don't.
Just making money wrestling.
I am 35. I have a beautiful fiance. I have a beautiful daughter. I just, there's no world in which at 35, I am trying to pursue pro wrestling all the way. And I've said this a lot lately, and it's really rang true. It's just, I'm just going to see where wrestling takes me. And when I know that I want to be done, I'll just be done.
I think the big goal for guys like you and I is if we can make wrestling our day job. If we can do enough, if we can wrestle enough, maybe even travel and stuff.
Yeah,
you don't have to work a regular job anymore. That would be my goal.
I would like to travel for wrestling. But I'm 10 years into my barbering career, and I think that I'll probably be in that for the rest of my life.
And with that, we do have to bring this thing home. We do have to take it home.
Take it home, brother.
Usually Brian's the guy grabbing me and be like, hey, man, we got to go home.
It's just, we got to end the match. It's me just going, all right, brother, take it home. I'm done.
Yeah, I love Brian so much. Oh, my God. Yes. This has been great. You guys got to see me crash out over the Giants. Well, maybe, just maybe. But you also got to see the behind-the-scenes type of stuff between myself, Brian, producer Jono, which shout-out to producer Jono.
Yeah, thank you, Jono.
Like these shows would not go, and a bunch of the shows at KXRW would not go without Jono.
Oh. And getting to learn things about Jono today are so much fun.
Jono makes things go. We love you, man.
And all right, that's so it. Glad. Ring the bell, brother.
Ring the bell.
Yep. All right, we're taking it home. This has been KXRW Independent Radio Vancouver, Rex's World on 99.9. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
The world is yours. I sip the dumb peat watching Gandhi till I'm charged and writing in my book of rhymes. All the words past the margin. The whole of mic I'm throbbing. Mechanical movement. Understandable smooth issue that murderers move with. The thief's theme. Play me at night, they won't act right. The fiend of hip hop has got me stuck like a F pipe. The mind activation. React like I'm facing time like Pappy Mason. With pins I'm embracing.